Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. In the recent past, we've all been affected by the explosion in sources for information. But most of us don't think of novels as a source for late-breaking news. Our guest, the prolific writer Stephen J. Cannell, writes best-selling novels. He believes he's performing a journalistic function by offering readers stories he thinks have been ignored by the mainstream news media. For example, in his novel The Viking Funeral, Mr. Cannell's story is based on what he claims is a parallel market, American Fortune 500 companies knowingly laundering cash for Colombian drug dealers. Here's how Mr. Cannell explains his sense of mission in this and other novels.
In terms of the parallel market, hopefully I can make this a good read that people will go, gee, you know, I don't like that. And maybe somebody will, maybe some congressman who's not as aware of it as he might read my novel and go, gee, is this really happening?
Stephen J. Cannell has written widely for television and film and is now also the best-selling author of novels. He has launched 40 television series in his wide-ranging career, including The Rockford Files, The A-Team, and The Commish. He has written over 1,500 of the programs in these series, as well as enjoying occasional acting stints. Mr. Cannell's novel, The Viking Funeral, adds to his growing list of best-selling novels, several of which are in various stages of film production. Mr. Cannell is also the savvy businessman who revolutionized the American television business when he moved much of his production into Canada in the late 1970s. And he is a leading spokesman on issues related to dyslexia. Bill Russell and I were delighted to welcome Mr. Cannell back to this program, interested as we are in both the possibility of a parallel market and in the ways Mr. Cannell offers us to think differently. Stephen J. Cannell, if the great American philosopher didn't say it, he should have. Now, of course, we all know that the great American philosopher is the guy who introduces reality ain't what it used to be. It's Yogi Berra.
That's right.
When I read your things and as I think about the ideas that you bring to us, particularly in your books, I keep thinking reality ain't what it used to be. Or is it?
Well, what I try and do is take things out of the headlines that fascinate me and are part of our American cultural fabric, and weave them into tales and take them maybe a step or two beyond where they may really be going, but where in my own mind I might be able to say, you know, if somebody called me up and said, you know, what you just wrote really happened, that I wouldn't be surprised. You know, so that there is the possibility that what I'm writing, in fact, is true.
I wonder about the entertainment business as investigative journalism. There's an overlap there.
There can be. I think there can be. And in my writing, there certainly is. I don't know what there is about me that fascinates me about that. When I did the Devil's Workshop, which I think we did talk about,
mm-hmm.
I was doing a story about our government being involved with bioweapons. Now, I believe that we never did shut down our bioweapon program in 1972, and that I had a lot of evidence of, and so that was the fact. And then I'm thinking, well, you know, if I were designing a bioweapon, how would I go about designing it? What would I want it to do? And I came up with a weapon working with a technical advisor, the head of the USC microbiology department, that was a protein-based bioweapon. It was actually a prion. It's mad cow disease, juiced up to go and in 18 hours to run the course that it now takes maybe 15 years to run. So I thought, okay, that would be kind of cool. And then I'm thinking, well, now, what would I want this weapon to do? And this is all fiction now, you know. I'm thinking, what would I want it to do? Well, one afternoon I was sitting around pondering, and I thought, you know, what would really be devastating is if you could genetically target it, because it seems now as if we're probably looking at a decade of war against either the Arabs or the Chinese, if they become our next global enemy. Wouldn't it be interesting if we could genetically target a bioweapon? What if that's what these guys are doing? So, with no real background in science beyond what I'd been reading about bioweaponry, I knew that DNA is protein, and I knew that bioweapons are protein as opposed to chemical weapons. And I thought, okay, would it be possible to target the anomalies in genetic strains of DNA? Now, that was just a
I wonder if kind of thing.
So I call Dr. Peter Hazeltine, who was my technical advisor. I said, Pete, I got a question for you. I said, I would really like for this to not just be what we've seen before. I'd like to go to the next level. And how devastating to be able to genetically target a bioweapon. And he go, well, how would you go about doing it? And I said, well, I'm thinking that, you know, that DNA has anomalies on it. I mean, we know that Ashkenazi Jews are the only people that get Tay-Sachs disease. We know that African Americans are the only ones who get sickle cell anemia. I said, could you, and it's true of every other group, could you target that particular anomaly in the DNA strain and make that the trigger mechanism for the bioweapon? And he went, yes. So we kind of juiced it up and everything. Well, you know, I got the book written. It was on my publisher's desk and had yet to been published. And the London Times wrote an article that the Israelis had genetically targeted bioweapons. So, you know, that I had come up with, in fact, was already, and he had said, you know, this, I've heard that there's some work being done in this field and all that. But so those kind of things sort of are what intrigue me about writing stories about that come out of fact, to say, take it to the next level and see if you can look into the future a little bit, you know. And those are obviously, I didn't want to give that idea to somebody, you know, but when he told me that he had read about it and that in fact people were trying to do it, I didn't feel I was letting any secrets loose, but or any of my creative genius was going to create death.
We'll come back to that. This is Stephen J. Cannell. He is with us on The Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell's with me, of course, and we'll all be back in just a moment. Please be with us when we return.